Part 3, 1975 to 1981. Chapter 17, Panama Canal Negotiations and Graham Greene. Saudi Arabia made many careers. Mine was already well on the way, but my successes in the Desert Kingdom certainly opened new doors for me. By 1977, I had built a small empire that included a staff of around 20 professionals headquartered in our Boston office, and a stable of consultants from Maine's other departments and offices scattered across the globe. I had become the youngest partner in the firm's 100-year history. In addition to my title of chief economist, I was named Manager of Economics and Regional Planning. I was lecturing at Harvard and other venues, and newspapers were soliciting articles from me about current events. I owned a sailing yacht that was docked in Boston Harbor next to the historic battleship Constitution, Old Ironsides, renowned for subduing the Barbary pirates not long after the Revolutionary War. I was being paid an excellent salary, and I had equity that promised to elevate me to the rarefied heights of millionaire well before I turned 40. True, my marriage had fallen apart, but I was spending time with beautiful and fascinating women on several continents. Bruno came up with an idea for an innovative approach to forecasting, an econometric model based on the writings of a turn-of-the-century Russian mathematician. The model involved assigning subjective probabilities to predictions that certain specific sectors of an economy would grow. It seemed an ideal tool to justify the inflated rates of increase we like to show in order to obtain large loans, and Bruno asked me to see what I could do with the concept. I brought a young MIT mathematician, Dr. Nadipuram Prasad, into my department and gave him a budget. Within 6 months, he developed the Markov method for econometric modeling. Together, we hammered out a series of technical papers that presented Markov as a revolutionary method for forecasting the impact of infrastructure investment on economic development. It was exactly what we wanted, a tool that scientifically proved we were doing countries a favor by helping them incur debts they would never be able to pay off. In addition, only a highly skilled econometrician with lots of time and money could possibly comprehend the intricacies of Markov or question its conclusions. The papers were published by several prestigious organizations, and we formally presented them at conferences and universities in a number of countries. The papers, and we, became famous throughout the industry. Omar Torrijos and I honored our secret agreement. I made sure our studies were honest and that our recommendations took into account the poor. Although I heard grumbling that my forecasts in Panama were not up to their usual inflated standards, and even that they smacked of socialism, the fact was that Maine kept winning contracts from the Torrijos government. These contracts included a first, to provide innovative master plans that involved agriculture along with the more traditional infrastructure sectors. I also watched from the sidelines as Torrijos and Jimmy Carter set out to renegotiate the canal treaty.